Sex Bob-omb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I'm hearing voices, animal voices, the tremor of cold, the feminine atmosphere, reaching my threshold, staring at the truth till I'm blind.
Bama lama dama dam dam dama dama doom 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 boom 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 in my room room room, and here I go in the show right now. Bam! Hello, boys and girls in Afterrot Land. Welcome to another amazing show for the year. This will probably be the last of the live, like I talk to you in the person and like talk real life type episode for the year.
Wait, no, that's not right.
What?
How are you talking to people live if you're not even alive?
I didn't say I was alive. I said they was alive.
Oh, okay.
See, after this episode, I killed them all.
Oh.
And then I broadcast other episodes.
So this isn't like a full-on zombie apocalypse. It's just a small apocalypse and then another.
Prelude. Prelude.
Gotcha.
Not to be confused with the car by some Japanese company whose name I don't remember off the top of my head, but, oh yeah, that was the big H. We're not going to talk about them either. They're not sponsored, so we don't get paid by them. Eh. So yes, this is the prelude of the apocalypse. In moments, small, shallow moments, top, tip, top, tip, tops, tick, tock, tack, tock, small, tiny moments, the apocalypse may begin, and then we'll eat some dinner.
Now, I'm thinking here.
That's a bad idea.
Yes. You know, we know that, because you've actually even said this, that the Mayan calendar apocalypse thing technically should have ended, you know, 400 years ago. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, but let's pause for a second and think on this. You know, the millennium really wasn't the year 2000, was it?
Correct.
What year was it?
2001.
That's right. So, if all that was to be 1 year off, couldn't the world end Saturday?
Possibly. It's not gonna.
Nah, I didn't think so either. But I just kind of thought about that.
I know exactly when the world's going to end. And people ask me this question all the time. Because I do have psychotic mind powers, okay? Oh. I can see the future. I know when the end will happen.
Uh-huh.
Okay? I refuse to tell people when.
Oh, why?
Because I'm mean and evil and nasty. Nasties like last nasties.
Well, see, I wouldn't think that would be a nasty thing.
Sure it is.
Unless you're like, ooh, girlfriend, nasty. Oh.
No, I ain't doing that crap.
Oh, okay.
That's just not me. I don't even watch and enjoy that sort of thing. That's like, what? No.
Yes, and I don't do that voice all the time, okay?
Unless good. Because I do the Z snap thing every once in a while just to mess with people. It's like, dude, I don't do it. I don't do it my own self, but when I want to make fun of people and stuff and stereotypes and stuff, I'll do that just for the fun of it. But that's all. Yo.
Yeah.
We're getting the bats and we're going to go, yeah. Actually, I just saw a little commercial for Carlsberg, which was rather funny. It was an social experiment thing. They filled the theater up with 148 big butt muscly biker type scary looking dudes, and they're all sitting there looking mean and whatever. And then they sell a ticket to one couple. Well, actually, they did it to a whole bunch of couples. And they walk in, and most of the couples like, whoa, this is scary. I don't want to sit in this theater. Ooh. They turn around, go out, and then a couple brave souls get up. It's like, yeah, they're just people. Sit down in the middle because there's only two seats there. And then they shine the spotlight on and everybody claps. It's like, hey, thanks for being strong and supportive and not being scared of stereotypes.
Right.
I would have sat down. It's like, whatever. What are they going to do? Knife me in a seat in the theater? No.
If anyone's actually paid attention to like Hell's Angels and some of those groups, they're really a lot more personable than you think they are.
They're all people. People are people, regardless of what social dichotomy they throw into. I mean, Bikers are just as much people as people as any others. Christian church groups, they're people. People who are in the subway busking, they're people. Everybody is just people. It's lobbing people into categories and saying that everybody in that category is all like that. It's like, no, that's not only silly, it's just not very effective.
What's a subway?
You don't know what a subway is?
Isn't it that the restaurant where or the sandwich shop?
No, it's public transit.
They apparently they don't believe in those kind of things in Texas.
Well, you know, Texas is kind of strange.
That's for sure.
Even in a country of Americans, Texas is still one of them strange dark places where it's like, what? They got what?
Yep.
You do what? Yep. Oh my goodness. Really? You do that? That's just strange, man.
Yep.
Of course, you guys have nowhere near the amount of snow we get.
I still don't even know what snow is.
Funniest thing, I used to work for a company and we were owned by a Taiwanese head office. And one day, a few people come in from all over the place time. And this one guy was here and he's like, snow. I've never seen snow before. So he's out there in his like suit and whatever, just picking up little clumps of snow and throwing it back down and picking up some more. It's like guy was having time of his life out there, just picking up snow and experiencing snow for the first time in his life.
Well, that made me, that's kind of what I was, I imagine for the people in Cairo that saw snow just recently.
Yeah, but they get snow in Egypt.
Well, according
they don't get it into the mainlands or in the city. It's it's in the outskirts and in the mountains and stuff.
Yeah, well, according to what they were saying, that it's been 100 years since Cairo saw snow. You realize that's two generations of people that never saw snow in their town.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a long time.
Ah, piffle. Us dead people don't worry about that sort of thing.
Well, you don't want the cold.
Actually, that's a misnomer.
No?
And I like that word, by the way, misnomer. It's one of those weird sounding names. The cold doesn't affect what the zombies do or don't do. Atrophication, the whole normal decay of the muscles, that's a problem. The cold is actually better because decay doesn't happen as fast.
This is true. This is actually true. That's why I'm safe here, because apparently Texas is hot enough to make anything melt.
Well, I would say that probably if a zombie outbreak were to break out and you go into a lot of hot places like Texas or like Egypt or whatever, that the putrefaction factor of the bodies is going to be, well, it's a dead thing and it's running across and, well, it's falling to pieces in a couple of days faster than it would be if it was in middle America or northern Canada or whatever. But, yeah, they would still keep together.
I don't know. You know, everybody's talking about winter, and we're talking about 80 degrees. So, yeah.
80 degrees. What's that? Oh, that's right. You're in that Fahrenheit thing. I don't get that Fahrenheit thing. It doesn't seem to make any sense.
I don't get the Celsius thing. Really?
Well, Celsius is all in decimal point.
Do
everything
I
just
look
increases
like a
by 1 point.
Do I look like a mathematician?
And yet you'll still deal with a measurement system that divides by increments of 8 and 16.
I do?
Yes, it's a hex-based system. So it's based on quadrants of 8 and 6. So all of your increments
You're talking about tools like...
No. The whole imperial system, the whole measurement of imperial system, inches, feet, stones in weight or whatever, all of it's based on 8 and 16ths.
And is that ran by the emperor?
It was run by the emperor. It originally was based on really silly measurement systems. It's the emperor's length of his finger. That was a cubit or something like that. And then they standardized it at some point. It's like, okay, well, it's now this length.
And then they said, come to the dark side.
And then we said, come to the dark side. Let's have Celsius or metric, because everything's in like 0 and 1.
You know, I got to laugh.
I laugh at everyone.
Well, I mean, they talk about the dollar system and everything, and whose is greater, who has more value, yada yada. And they just released new $100 bills in you know, in the States. And then I saw, like, was it not too long after that, they're coming out with a new dollar system that's supposed to be a universal dollar sign, which was like a P and a line going through it. And, yeah, I couldn't figure it out.
But have you seen our new money?
No, wait. Yes, I think I have. It's like a really bright peach color.
No, that's just the one. That's the $50 bill.
See, I knew it was something like that.
See, all of the denominations in the Canadian dollar system is different colors. Unlike in the U.S. where they're all green. Blech, icky looking green. The $5 are blue. The $10 are purple. The $20 are green. The $50 are red, pink, red, or whatever. And then the $100 are brown. But what they've recently done is, in order to have the paper money last longer, they've converted over to a combination paper and plastic style dollar bill. So what happens is, this is very slick, it's very shiny, it's very slippery, you can't rip it.
Interesting.
You can't just go, rip! It's like, what? You can take a knife and you can slice it. That would be stupid, but you can do that. And technically, by the way, is illegal. Did you know it's illegal in the States too, right?
It's actually illegal too.
You're not allowed to destroy money.
It's supposed to tape it either.
Yeah, but once that money gets into the bank pulls it and yanks it and pulls it out of circulation and replaces it with a new one.
Oh, really now?
Yeah. As soon as they get damaged bills into the bank, any of the major banks, I guess some of your smaller banks probably won't do it, but in Canada, every single dollar bill, every single bill that gets into a bank that is damaged gets removed and replaced with a new bill.
Quite interesting.
And did you know that every single $1,000 bill, which we do have $1,000 bills as well, every single $1,000 bill is recorded and serial number tracked?
I would think it would have to be, especially since you don't see it in regular circulation.
No. I mean, you pick up a $1,000 bill as a gimmick or as a, oh, I'm going to pay off this $50,000 thing in $50,000 bills. Okay. Oh, wait. Sounds like a drug deal going bad.
Do you know there is an actual $1,000 bill, though, right?
Yes, there is. I've seen it.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, you know, I had to start playing catch up with you.
Okay, so that was the EW segue phase. Go there. Yeah. It's like, okay, let's talk about money. Okay, now let's talk about movies.
Yes. Ooh. I'm playing catch up with you. Now, I will say, just moments before coming on the air, I just finished watching Pacific Rim.
I love that movie.
I loved some of the effects and stuff. The storyline could have been better.
The movie is not about storyline. That movie is pure Godzilla, Big Bang, Bonko monsters bonging across a landscape and going, hey, look at me, what can I do? I can trash Tokyo. Okay, go Tokyo.
Well, they didn't just trash Tokyo.
But that's the thing. The whole movie is about big monsters, big mecha, fight.
Yeah, but that's it. Here's my disappointment. You know, I did love a lot of the fight scenes. I really did love it. You know, the action and stuff. But the end, it was a kind of like a Independence Day movie ending.
Okay, there's a reason for that. Guillermo del Toro originally was supposed to make that movie as a Lovecraftian elder gods trying to cross over into the current universe movie.
Right.
Then when the production, when the producers started saying, oh, well, do this, and he says, I don't really want to go with your direction. Let's just call it all quits, and I'll take this movie and we'll do it somewhere else. And they said, no, this is our movie. You don't have anything to take away from here. It's all ours. And he said, okay, so I'll finish this movie, but it's going to be done slightly differently. So he originally was going to be a Lovecraft, Cthulhu, Shognagath, all those other really cool dudes. And then he put that ending and slapped it together.
Yeah, that ending just, I saw Independence Day. That's a repeat of Independence Day, basically.
With the exception that there was a really good visual movie to it. Independence Day had some really good visual moves to it as well, but then it had a number of people in there. It was like, really? Why the hell? Bill Pullman? What? Yeah. Who, this guy? I was waiting. Will Smith? What? And then I never remember the Jewish guy who always plays that stereotypical Jewish guy is always crying about his mama. It's like, he's annoying but funny, and him, and then those guys over there, and then it was like
yeah. Okay. Let's see. What was next? Oh yes, R.I.P.D.
Like the movie.
I thought it was great. It was
like the comic book better, but I still like the movie.
They tried to make a comic book. They really tried hard to make that comic book. Mm-hmm. Hey. Not as good as Red 2. Red 2 really went comic book.
Red 2 wasn't comic book. It's derived from a comic book, but it was definitely not comic book.
Their little segues or their little cross scenes were comic book scenes.
Oh, I mean, it's cut scenes. That's filmography.
Yeah.
I mean, filmography much in the same way as comic book style. Sure, okay, I get that. But they didn't have... it wasn't like Die Hard 72 or whatever, which tried to be ultra-over-the-top violence. It's like, you can't believe that. It's just, no, there's no way a helicopter's going to do that and go down nose and spin or whatever. Red 2, at least, was like, okay, yeah, I could buy that. Trick scene? Yeah. Trick scene? Yeah. Trick you? Oh, yeah. R.I.P.D. You know me. That's funny. But yeah, for anybody who doesn't know, R.I.P.D. stands for Rest in Peace Division. The whole idea being afterlife, bunch of cops who are retasked to continue serving the law.
I like the little ID change too.
Oh, with the burn a branding into the skin?
No. I mean the new identification he was given.
Oh, his disguise or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little Chinese guy, and the other guy is like hot blonde. It's like, what? Okay.
Yeah.
In the comic books, it's slightly different. It's not that kind of thing, but it's the same idea.
But I noticed, I saw a preview with, I can't think of the guy's name now, the older guy.
Yes, but, him.
Yeah, what's the actor's name?
I don't remember.
Well, there's a new one coming out with him in it again, and he's still got the same beard.
Dude, he does not change his look for anything.
Apparently not, okay. Nor accent.
Yeah, no, he never changes any of his appearances. It's always Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges, there you go.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
He was good in Tron. Even the second Tron. But in this one and the new one that's coming out, The Seventh Son, I think is what it's called, or something.
I'm looking forward to that one.
It looks good, but if you paid attention to his accent and his look,
I ain't doing it.
Spitting image of R.I.P.D.
I ain't doing that. I was gonna keep that because I'm gonna watch the movie, I'm gonna enjoy it. I'm gonna enjoy the movie all on its own.
Oh, next one coming up, Seventh Son, looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, it looked like a fun movie. It looked like it's going to have a whole bunch of people in there and going to go on and go fun.
Yeah, Boomhauer. All right.
So you saw another movie. I think you heard. Sorry.
I did, and we're going to have a debate over this.
Okay.
Because there were some funny scenes in there, too. Some really good scenes if you didn't catch them.
I will not doubt that.
But I saw the new Superman movie, The Man of Steel.
Yes.
Okay. I totally got what they did. They redid the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of almost fits the way it should have been, I think, because like in the original Superman movies, Zod didn't come in until the second movie.
Correct.
And it really would have fit if he came in the beginning.
Doesn't really matter where he comes into the story. It's just one segment of the story life.
Yeah, but I mean, to me, I thought it would have been better if it came right then because, you know, the characters are introduced and that's the end of it. You know, you're just like, well, what happened to those guys? You know, but here we go. You know, this one, he's introduced. You see how much of a bastard he is. And boom, he comes in. There. Okay, I'm going to give one of the funny scenes. If you notice this one part where they're fighting and Superman gets thrown into this sign that says 106 days without accident and he hits it, the numbers fall off and it says 0 days without accident.
Yes.
I thought that was a good little funny moment. But
one of the things I will say about the Man of Steel movie is that I liked its cinematography. The way that the thing that always kills me is, like, you got this big story. I mean, you're talking about a world storyline that's huge. There are thousands of parallel storylines that have been written and done and imagined and thrown out into the whole uber spectrum of stuff and stuff. But how do you introduce the character and bring everybody up to speed who may not know the character story, which is kind of silliness because everybody knows who Superman is. But you still have to make it interesting. So the whole little, okay, do-do-do-do-do, and then flashback. Oh, do-do-do-do-do, and then flashback. And all these little quick flashback scenes was really cool. However, the thing that really kills it for me is they reinterpreted the movie to be boring. That was my thing. Kevin Costner as the father? Really? You couldn't have come up with somebody a little bit more old man-ish and salt-of-the-earth style than that? And he gets killed in a tornado? And Super Guy can't go and just save him? Oh, you can't. Don't save me. Let me die. What? No. Nobody's going to do that.
I give you that particular scene probably could have revealed a lot more. I mean, especially since, you know, you do get that flashback about him rescuing the kids on the school bus. But, you know, there was a part of a story there, so you could understand why he didn't reveal himself up to that point. And I think what they did, and this is why I'm saying I think it really is a good thing. I think it's a reboot. Like the comic books, when they come out, when they want to reboot the comic books, I think that's what they're doing here, is they're rebooting the story.
Oh, they're absolutely rebooting the story. I mean, they said that right from the very beginning. This is a reboot. This is a reimagination, a reinterpretation, a regurgitation of the storyline. This is the thing that bugs me about some of the movie making in Hollywood. It's been done.
Yeah.
This is the 10th time it's been done. How about we find another character and do something new? And I get the whole invested audience thing, and they already know, hey, we do another movie like this, we know we're already going to get 10 million people in the doors just to sit down, just even if we do a piece of crap. Sure. But you know what?
Next one,
it's still bad.
I think with what they did, their visual effects, their the action, I mean, it starts off slow. It started off slow. Well, no, I take it back. It started off fast with the action of what happens on Krypton, but then goes slow and then picks back up.
Sure.
And it's on the edge of your seat all the way to the end.
And that's what I'm saying. From a from that point of view, I have no problems with the issue of how the story was presented. I have issue with what story they chose to present.
Yeah, but I mean, there's got to be a reason. And it might be like...
The reason is money.
Well, yeah, money is definite. But I mean, like, if they're writing out a whole series of what they want to do, it'll make sense with the direction over time. I kind of almost want to lean to the fact that, DC needs a desperate reboot, you know, to pick up and start trying to somewhat compete with Marvel. And I think this is their attempt. Because, you know, if the next series or next movie is supposed to be Batman versus Superman.
With Wonder Woman thrown in the mix. I got real issues with that whole next sequel movie coming out. It's going to be lame.
Well, I don't know, because I saw Chris Nolan's name was in this last one.
Mm-hmm.
And he did the Batman series.
Yep.
So, you know, if he tries to keep some of his original Batman in there, which really, I think they need to not consider Ben Affleck and try to get what's-his-name back in there.
They won't. Ben Affleck is the man that's Batman right now. And
that can still change.
No, it's not.
It can still change. Hey, it's Hollywood.
It's not going to change. Do you know why?
Why?
The reason they chose Ben Affleck is because of the publicity of making that choice. There is no reason for it other than that. He is not a great actor. He's a good actor. He has some roles that he's extremely well suited for and good at doing. This is not one of them. He's not an action guy.
No, this is for sure.
Okay, he can't pull off the action side of things. Now, from what I understand, they're going to try, and I'll be one of the first people that says, hey, I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt until I see the movie come out. I think it's going to suck, but I'm more than willing to let it not suck. If he can make a great Vision with it and actually make and deliver an awesome movie, I'll be there saying clap, 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 cool, awesome, kudos, and all that other K words, that hard C sound or whatever. But I don't think it's going to get there, because that movie that just came out, Man of Steel, was boring. It really did not add anything story-wise, depth-wise, concept-wise, execution-wise to any of it. It's all been done. So, okay, they reimagined it's like Superman's powers are derived from the atmosphere, not from the sun's rays. So he can't fly outside of the atmosphere.
No. They did start with that, but they also did say the sun, because if you remember after
he struck it's the atmosphere. Soon as he walks into the spaceship, he no longer can breathe properly.
Because they say the atmosphere. But they did say, and it, their atmosphere was Kryptonian atmosphere, the way they had it set up.
Right.
But once it was given back to Earth stuff, so basically, you know, the sun and everything, he had his power back. And they still had, this part I didn't get is most of them still had their breathing apparatus on, even though they were in their own. That was one thing that threw me off. And I can understand, you know, they weren't really trying to make that an important factor. But, you know, if you really want to, you've got your comic book people who want to see it the right way. The only reason I kind of somewhat support the fact that they did this way is because it's the first movie and it's the typical storyline that remains. Except for the fact that they changed it up pretty good of, you know, you never heard about the Kryptonite.
Yes.
And, you know, there was a couple of things they totally took out. So I have a feeling you're going to see some changes. I did see a hint in this movie as well, because if you paid attention to the gas truck that explodes, it was LexCorp.
Mm-hmm. So Luther's definitely in the next movie.
Yeah, there's some hints of what's going on. And I think what one of the other things that we're going to see with this next movie is the fact that they're going to, and I think this is why Wonder Woman's inserted, I really do, is they want to prove to people that she could pull some good numbers for a movie as well.
Well, here's what DC has actually officially stated at some point, and this is why we don't have a Wonder Woman movie. They don't believe that a strong woman movie will sell.
Did they not watch Xena?
Did they not watch 101 different other movies? Did they not watch Aliens? Did they not watch Dark Angel as a TV show? Did they not watch Farscape, Buffy, thousands of other movies and shows and whatever that feature strong women tropes that are pushing towards saying, hey, look, it doesn't matter what gender you are, you're a person. You move forward, you do things, you have fun. Fifth Element, holy crap, was that ever not a strong movie or what? With Mila Jovovich, any movie she's been in. But the thing is, DC can't make good movies based on the superheroes. Well, any of their other comic book movies, stunning amount of workload that comes out. Red, Scott Pilgrim versus the World, The Expendables. Yep. I can't remember all the rest of them. But all of their movies that are not based on superheroes do exceedingly well.
See, this is the problem, and I think they've tapped into the right person right now of having I said his name a moment ago and I forgot.
Nolan.
Yeah, Christopher Nolan. Having him doing this film,
but he's not doing the film.
Well, that's what I'm saying though. If they use him to do a Wonder Woman movie, that could be the answer.
Sure. They've been talking about a Wonder Woman movie for 10 years. They've had scripts. There are multiple scripts out there for a Wonder Woman movie. There are multiple actresses that have been tapped saying, hey, you'd be a great Wonder Woman. Okay, maybe not. Oh, no, I don't want to do this role. Okay. The young lady that they have tapped for doing Wonder Woman in this movie, I can't see her being Wonder Woman. Maybe they can pull her in as a Wonder Woman and make it somehow work and something. It's like, cool. but I can't see her. She's a mousy type character on screen. She does not have physical presence. She does not have the whole dynamic range of actual emotional presence. She doesn't have it.
She doesn't fit the role of a Wonder Woman anyways, because
exactly.
She was a Amazonian queen.
No, princess. Princess, not queen. Her mom is the queen.
Yeah, and the thing is she, you know, I mean, hello, I mean, have you not seen the Amazonian women?
Amazonian women do not have to be 6 foot big, breasty, and by the way, Amazons usually have one breast cut off. However, I mean, that's the original Greek Roman Amazon woman type thing, and that's because so that they can use a bow and arrow better. But still, they do not have to be big women. They have to have a presence. To Wonder Woman has to have a presence. I mean, there were Amazons in the comic book series that were, excuse me, how do I do this? That kind of character. And that's fine. Amazons can be a full range of people from a variety of social things as well. But Wonder Woman has to be the daughter of a queen with grace, agility, physical ability, mental dexterity, the ability to pull all of those different strategical, tactical concepts in body, in mind, and in place at a moment's notice.
Yeah, but she's not supposed to look like a freaking twig that can be broke by somebody just passing gas.
And with the one argument, with the one article I saw online, it's like, okay, well, part of the power that she derives is from her godly descent. I mean, she's basically the direct descendant of Zeus and Hera. Their bloodline is supposed to be part of that. And okay, I could buy that. But my issue is always going to be, and still be, the whole emotional and physical presence that's being projected by the individual. She can't do that. She was a mouse in Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, the girl's tiny. I just don't see her fulfilling the role the way she should.
Yeah. I mean, even Joss Whedon had a shot at Wonder Woman.
Yes, he did.
Okay, he had a script. It was ready to go. They shot it down because they didn't like it. They didn't think it would sell.
See, but I mean, that's DC for you, because if you look at Marvel, they're not afraid.
Here's what you're not seeing. DC, of all the comic book companies out there, is the most profitable as a comic book company.
As a comic book company, but they're not making it in film.
Okay, here's the thing. They've got money, okay? It's not like they don't have the money to throw at things. Making a movie is about getting the right people to do the movie. It's not about knowing how to make a movie. It's about knowing how to buy the right people to make that movie. The Dark Knight series of movies, awesome movies, stellar. Fantastic, well done, directed well, the right people were attached to the projects, they made great movies, and they made money on those movies, and they're still making money, and they will continue to make money on those movies for a while. But all of the rest of their superhero movies suck. I mean, the first Batman movie with Michael Keaton, that was a great movie, I enjoyed that a lot. The second movie, well, had some great points, I liked it. I'm not going to go out of my way to watch it every single time it comes on, but I'll enjoy it still. Third and fourth movie? Holy crap, was that poop.
Yeah. But when they put it in Chris Nolan's hands, I mean, it was a good reboot, and it was perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, other than, yes, Jack Nicholson made a great Joker, but so did Heath Ledger.
Right. And these are all interpretations of what the character and what the role is. And that's what comic books do. The comic book character is not set in stone to be,
he's just this one guy and has no depth and doesn't do anything and that's it. That's all he does.
Sort of thing. The comic books allow artists, writers, to continuously reinvent and recreate a new dynamic for the stories. Not just for, hey, look, he can fly. Or, hey, look, he can whatever. It's about creating a new dynamic that allows that character to grow and evolve and actually be something deeper than just a two-dimensional stereotype. Superhero movies can be fantastic. Marvel is showing that it can be done left, right, and center. A greater percentage of Marvel's movies, the superhero movies, do well than DC's. Most of DC's superhero movies suck and drop at the end. Green Lantern, what a freaking bomb. Catwoman? Holy crap, was that ever smelly. I can't even think of a good DC comic book superhero movie other than Dark Knight that did well.
Who?
I'm just trying to rack my brains.
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing. Who has Sin City?
Sin City is DC, but that's not comic book superhero. That's what's called pulp and noir. Sin City, awesome movie. Love it. But again, based on Frank Miller's graphic novels and very true to the graphic novels, but done as a noir type movie, not superheroes.
Wow. See, I can't think of any others that...
Well, there's the original Superman movies. The first one was awesome. Second one was good. Third one was kind of eh. Fourth one was like, whoa. Fifth one was, I'm not so sure about that. And then What's-His-Nuts movie, that one was kind of boring, too.
Oh, the one where they make Superman look like a bastard.
Deadbeat Dull Dad? Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that was really bad. I don't even know why that story came out the way it did.
However, I do have to say one thing. DC puts out more TV series based on their characters. They have Arrow out right now. They had a great series called Birds of Prey. Very low budget, but still well done.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Okay.
Haven't watched it yet, so don't say nothing.
Yeah. You haven't watched the last episode?
Haven't watched it at all yet.
Oh.
Dude, I got no time to watch stuff. Do you know how many movies I watched this weekend?
Five?
None.
Oh.
Do you know how many movies I watched last weekend?
I listened to the show, but I can't remember.
One. I watched one movie last weekend. I didn't have time.
I want to say, I thought you mentioned more than one movie last week.
I will check my notes, but I'm pretty sure I only had the one movie that I watched last week.
All right, everybody, run to the archives and double-check ZZ's last show.
Go and listen to the entire episode in its entirety, quickly, 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 and then see who gets the answers quickly. Bum, 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 I get the answers quickly. Oh, I watched two movies. That's right. 13 Eerie and Zombie Hunter last week. They were corny movies, but fun. But yeah, since that, and the old Flash TV series, right, and Batman, and Superman. The old Superman serials were awesome. With George Reeves. Steve Reeves, one of them.
Oh, yeah, George Reeves and then Christopher Reeves. Yeah, I miss the old Flash TV series.
I'm looking at it right now. It's on my shelf right over there.
I used to watch that.
Oh, I used to watch all of the old Superman black and white serials and the Batman with Adam West. Maybe the Noid should avoid me. Whatever. But yeah.
What about... Okay. I know I didn't watch this yet, but I know they said the Green Lantern kind of bombed.
Oh, it's horrible.
And they're coming out with the second one.
Of course they are, because there's money involved.
What about the Green Hornet?
The Green Hornet movie?
Well, which side is he? Is he Marvel or DC?
He's neither right now. It hasn't actually ever been either. He's always been an independent comic book. Now Comics used to do it. Right now it's being done by a company called Dynamite Entertainment, which is kind of one of these stranger offshoot type comic book companies. They put out some good titles, and they have some really top-notch licenses and stuff, but What's-His-Face's Green Hornet was horrible. Seth Rogen? Rogaine. I call him Seth Rogaine.
There's only one scene I like is when they put him, or when he puts himself out.
No, I mean, everything with Kato in that movie was good. The guy doing Kato was really bang on. Wow, that was good casting. That was a good call. He was cool.
The bottle cap scene, when he does those bottle caps, that was pretty sweet.
Yeah, I mean, everything he did. He is a really good martial artist. I could really believe him as Kato in that movie. He really should have been the Green Hornet. Seth Rogaine should have been the klutzy, bumbling sidekick.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. He should. I mean, I think that's what ruined it. I think he ruined. I think he totally ruined it. See, when I first saw the preview, it wasn't too long after that. I think I saw Black Mask. I think that's the name of the show. It's. I don't know if you're familiar with it. Anyway,
Jet Li.
Yeah, and yep. That was what this was going to be.
There's more than one movie, by the way, for the Black Mask.
Yeah, he wasn't in the second one.
No. But the first one was good. It was a good kung fu movie. It was hop, chop, 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 whatever. It worked well. I get a kick out of that. That's funny. Somebody in the chat room is mentioning the movie The Shadow.
Which one?
The movie one.
The one with...
with my favorite actor, Tim Curry.
Yeah, Tim Curry is always good at whatever he does.
He was good, but the movie blew.
Baldwin,
yes. Alec Baldwin.
Yeah. Yeah, that was...
It had the potential for really good, but it was kind of, whatever.
Oh, they chose a bad actor, too, then.
He's not a bad actor. He was a bad director. The directing on that movie was horrible.
I think he was a bad choice. I honestly think he would be a bad choice, period. He's still, but...
remembering a name. I'm remembering a name. Phantom. The Phantom. Yeah. With Billy Zane.
I like that one.
That one was not bad. That was really true to the comic book, too.
Yeah, my wife is a big fan of that one.
Funny. But that one is a strange quirk for DC, because it was like, he's not quite a superhero, but he is a superhero. But he's not quite a superhero, but he is a superhero. No, he's just really a human who's kind of strange. Well, then, technically speaking, so was Batman.
Thank you. I was just going to say it.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, that was maybe why the Batman movie with Nolan did well. It's not about having superpowers. It's about a person with exceptional abilities in exceptional circumstances, and what does he do with it? He rises to the top and does good things with it.
I think they could reboot the Phantom, but
they can reboot anything. That's my point. They can. They have to get the right people to it.
They did the Punisher. And...
The rebooted Punisher that came out, Warzone, I liked it. A lot of people I know says like, this is crappy. It was like, but have you read the comic book? It's exactly like the comic book. Over-the-top violent, graphic, completely blitzy. It's like, okay.
No, the one you're talking about had...
Travolta in it.
Yeah. So, yeah, and that one wasn't bad. I mean, it was a violent show, but I mean, it was... the revenge action character that, you know, that they made it out to be.
But that's what the Punisher is.
Right.
Then there's the other one before that, which was just the first, the Punisher. I enjoyed that one, too. I thought that was fun.
It was good.
The Dolph Lundgren one, on the other hand, was like, really?
Yeah, okay.
I could have seen him in that role if he didn't talk.
Yeah. Oh God. Did you see the last Universal Soldier?
No.
Don't watch it.
I will eventually.
Don't watch it.
But I basically have only seen the first and second one, and the 14 other ones that follow after is like, yeah, I haven't gotten around to them.
The last one is kind of bringing back, you know, Dolph Lundgren, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah.
You know, and the only one I liked was the one that had Bill Goldberg in it. That was my favorite one.
Okay. But you know what? You have gotten us off topic.
I have.
Because tonight's topic of movies was Christmas in horror movies.
In horror movies.
So I'm rebooting the storyline. Oh, by the way, Lone Ranger. Garbage movie! Passing off, going on to something else. Going back to Christmas movies. Off the top of your head, what's your favorite Christmas movie? Horror movie. Chat room, you too. What's yours?
Santa Slays.
Okay, dude, that's my favorite horror movie.
I like this one so much, I actually bought it.
Me too. That movie is so fun, with that opening scene with Fran Drescher and what's-his-nut, Dreyfus. Just like, do that again! Please! Can I see that again? I'm going to rewind that and watch that again. Did you watch the special features on the movie? The making of?
It's been a while, but yeah, I do remember that was a real bison, too.
It's a real bison that they have pulling his sleigh. It's like, seriously? That's just cool. And it's a low-budget movie, too. It's like not really got a lot of money in behind it.
Yeah, it was a low-budget film. But, I mean, still. Oh, sorry, I got caught in the chat room.
Same here.
I don't know if I saw Santa Claus.
Santa Claus is one that I haven't seen yet. I have it in my queue somewhere to watch. I just haven't gotten around to it. But I'm going to throw a couple of other Christmas movies out that I have seen. And I know you've seen this one as well.
Okay.
Gremlins.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, that did happen around Christmas time. That's right.
Both of them did. Gremlins 1 and 2.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, Gremlins 2 happens in the fancy-dancy high-rise apartment building that we're... Whatever. It's just fun. Black Christmas, both the original and the remake. Did you know that the original movie was banned in the States?
No, I didn't.
For one scene and one scene alone. Well, they chalked it up to just this one scene. There's a scene in the movie where the evil guy, whatever the hell his name is, takes an umbrella, impales a Santa Claus, flicks it open, and basically flays him apart.
Wow.
So the whole violence of that scene on a Santa Claus was like, no, 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 you can't have that kind of imagery in a movie. No, no, that's not acceptable.
Mm.
Next
yet,
movie.
Yet they've got a lot of horror films that are even worse than that.
Nowadays. I mean, that movie came out in, what, 1992 or something like that? Something really... Hogfather was not a Christmas horror movie, Jack. Mind you, it's a good movie, but that's a different story. Well, it's a fun movie. I wouldn't necessarily say it was a good movie. It's a fun movie.
Ooh, Silent Night, Deadly Night.
That would be... There's actually multiple movies of that. There's like four of them out now.
Mm. Really?
Yes.
I think they had that many out.
Let's see, where's my list thing? Yep, Silent Night, Deadly Night, number 4, came out in 1990.
Wow.
Yeah, so that one, then Silent Night 3 came out in 89, 87 for the second one, and 72 for the first one.
Phew.
Yeah. So it's got some history on it. Oh yeah, Black Christmas first came out in 74. So yeah, like in the 70s, you couldn't have imagery like that in a movie.
Mm.
So, on to some other movies. Jack Frost.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
It's I got a chick making out with a snowman. I'm sorry. That's the kind of thing that's going to make me laugh all night long. All
right.
I don't remember seeing this movie To All a Good Night, so I'm not going to even talk about it. I didn't ever see the movie One Hell of a Christmas either. It's too modern. I don't really care. Don't Open Till Christmas. I just remember that being very violent. Which is fun.
That was a pretty...
Oh, I almost forgot about that one. Elves? Forgettable. Although Dan Haggerty was in it.
Still forgettable.
Yeah. one movie I know you really liked, which we'll talk about later, because that'll probably take a little while to talk about.
Oh.
There's this other one called Rare Exports, A Christmas Tale. I ain't never seen that one, so I don't even know what the hell that one's about.
I heard about it, I almost watched it, and something else got my attention.
Eventually I'll watch it. I just haven't gotten to it. Silent Night. Oh, that's a 2012 movie. I haven't watched that one yet. But I have seen the original Deadly Night, so that one's good. And I've never seen Sint, although this looks like the kind of movie I will watch.
I've never heard of that one.
It's something foreign, I think. Other movies here, Christmas Evil. I remember watching that a long time ago. That was fun. Santa Sleigh. Still like that movie. what else we got here? So the thing that's really playing with me is that there's actually not that many Christmas horror movies. Yet we always seem to enjoy the whole concept of Christmas, happy, 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 scary stuff.
This is true.
Here's a movie that I love the name of, but I haven't yet watched yet, but I will find it now that I see the name. Bikini Bloodbath Christmas.
Hmm. Hmm. Sounds like one to watch.
Oh, yeah. I don't know who the hell's in this movie. I don't ever heard. Oh, Debbie Rochon's in this movie. I'll watch it.
Oh, it's worth watching. Yep.
Definitely going to be worth watching now. Blackout. I never remembered it. Bloody Christmas. Yeah, whatever. The Children. Yeah, it's okay. Christmas Season Massacre. Looks like another bad movie.
I think
Kronos was fun. Curse of the Cat People was fun. That's not a Christmas movie. Dead of Night? Yeah, I could see that one as being Deadly Little Christmas. Ooh, that looks fun. Death House. Decoys! I actually liked that movie. But it wasn't Christmas. It was just in winter. Why do you guys call that Christmas movie? Silly people. The Dorm That Dripped Blood. Yep, that would work.
I remember. That was a Christmas one?
Probably just a winter one. Same as Decoys was. Decoys was a movie based in wintertime, but not on Christmas.
Right. So please tell me they don't say 40 nights or 40 days, 40 nights, or whatever that one was. That vampire
Ginger
one.
Snaps 2? No. Well, Jaws? No. Okay, we stopped looking at this list because it's wrong.
Got off.
Oh, Debbie's in Santa Claus as well. Okay, I have to dig that one up too.
What was the one that you were telling me or were saying that I would?
The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yes.
But that is definitely. Oh, Tales from the Crypt, by the way, was a Christmas movie as well.
Well, yeah, I think they have
one. Well, the vignettes was a Christmas one.
But they really count Nightmare Before Christmas as horror.
Technically, it is.
Okay.
Right? I mean, technically, The Nightmare Before Christmas is about nightmares. It's about Christmas. Right? I wouldn't necessarily say it was a scary movie.
Right? I wouldn't put it as horror, though. That's where I'm kind of like, I think that's where it's throwing me off. You know, I mean, it was a good movie. And
I've never actually seen the whole thing.
Yeah, it was really good. It was very well done.
Oh no, the animation's top notch. I mean, I've seen snippets of it. It's like, ooh, look at this. This is really cool. This is claymation. I love claymation stuff.
I heard rumor. I don't know how true this is because, you know, they always talk about these kind of
things. They can't do another one.
Well, I heard they were going to do a part two.
That would be silly.
I'm not sure if it's actually Nightmare Before Christmas, though, part two.
Well, Coraline was basically a, hey, let's try and make another one like this. Yeah. Did okay. Didn't do anywhere near as good.
No, but see, like, if it's like Nightmare Before Thanksgiving or... because
that would be stupid.
He stumbles across the doors. That's where I think part of that rumor's coming from.
That would be stupid. I want to see a movie about Krampus.
There is a horror movie out there about Krampus.
I know.
Actually,
what's it called?
I can't tell you. I was going to say, well, let's just put it this way. You have to watch Grimm, this last episode of Grimm.
They actually have a movie out called Krampus the Christmas Devil.
Yep.
It's a low-budget movie. What a surprise.
You need to watch the last episode of Grimm.
No, I don't. Do you know what I need? I need the next couple of issues of my comic book, Krampus.
No, you need to watch Grimm.
No!
Krampus makes
Forget that Grimm stuff. I almost picked up Grimm Season 1 yesterday, too.
You gotta watch this last episode.
I'll wait till Boxing Day. I'll pick it up cheaper. That's what Boxing Day's for.
Yes, it is.
Of course, maybe I won't. I don't know. However, I did pick up a couple of movies, and I'm going to watch those. But I'm going to focus on comic books right now, because I got a big whack of comics today.
All right.
We got Lady Rawhide. We got Saga. We got East of West. We've got 10 Grand. We've got Hellraiser, The Dark Watch. We've got a new reboot of The Ghost. We've got Black Science. We've got, right in time for Christmas, A Very Zombie Christmas 5. We've got Mars Attacks versus Judge Dredd. We've got Godzilla Rulers of the Earth. We've got Grimm Fairy Tales Wonderlands Looking Through the... Through the Looking Glass. And we've got Red Sonja. And we've got the new Wolverine Origins 2 series. But I'm going to focus right now and fixate on A Very Zombie Christmas. Now, unfortunately, the interior portions of this comic book, not the greatest in the world. However, the concept and the covers are freaking awesome. So every year for the last 5 years, they've put out an issue. It's a Christmas zombie story. Just basically that's it. It's a bunch of miscellaneous Christmas zombie stories.
Cool.
But the covers are awesome. I mean, the first one was like, I circulated the picture this, but actually, about an hour or two ago. And I forgot my other, sorry, I have to mention this one movie because I just saw a trigger that I initiated it for. My favorite all-time Christmas movie, Scrooged.
Oh, the one with Bill Murray.
That is the one.
Yes. Well, I didn't think it when you said
it's
horror.
It's not a horror movie, but it's my all-time favorite Christmas movie.
Yeah, well, see, you said horror, so.
Yeah, well, whatever, you know. Whatever. It's also the part of my tagline on the show is, and whatever the hell else I feel like talking about.
Exactly.
Hey, who the heck is Arnette Lawless? Is she related to Lucy?
I don't think so.
She could be. She's kind of skinny, though.
Could be. She got dark hair, too?
Yeah, she got dark, long hair, like 2 feet long.
Wow.
Oh, no. No, we're not going there. No. Whatever happened to the Red Sonja movie? Oh, my goodness. Do you really want to know what happened to the Red Sonja movie? Guillermo del Toro and Robert Rodriguez, they got very popular and famous, and they're making lots of money on other stuff, so they are not making that movie right now. But they still have the option to make it. No, that's the other Red Sonja movie. Jack, pay attention. They do have a script for a Red Sonja movie, which was going to have Rose McGowan as Red Sonja.
Really?
Yeah, she could pull it off.
Oh, she could pull it off.
I want to see that. If you see the poster for that, it's like, oh yeah.
I haven't seen that. I saw previews to the new Hercules.
I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. And they don't have, you know, originally I heard it was supposed to be with Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, but...
that would have sucked.
The guy they actually have doing it, I mean, at first I thought it was like another episode of, or another film of 300.
Oh, it says Dwayne.
Well, not the one I saw.
The IMDb listing puts Dwayne as Hercules.
Yeah, maybe this is the Adventures, or I don't know. It's a different film because it was not him in this film. This the one that I saw. This guy was totally not The Rock.
Okay, they got a bunch of people. Oh, they're still going to put an Iolas in there. Okay, let me see who this guy is. Reese Ritchie. Okay, sure. He looks like a sidekick. All right. Oh, he played Prince of Persia. Piffle on that.
Prince of Persia.
Yeah, it was a horrible movie.
It wasn't totally bad.
Yes, it was. It looked pretty. That's about it.
Yeah, I mean, see, when people say it's bad, I have to wonder why, because...
Well, by the way, bad for me means a couple of different things.
Yeah, because, like, there's a lot of... great effects, you know, different things like that. That
really but you can't build a whole movie around, oh, look, pretty.
Well, no, and then again, you got Star Wars.
You do, but Star Wars does have the basis of a storyline in it.
Or not Star, oh, yeah, and then you got a lot of them, so it's kind of hard to say.
Well, this is why I say Star Wars wasn't necessarily a bad movie, but if you take it as just the story, it was boring.
Yeah.
If you throw in all the rest, it's like, oh, look, cool, lasers, lightsabers, woo, neat. Then you're adding spice to it. But Star Wars was pivotal in the way that it was done as a movie and what they did with it, that sort of thing. But that's the thing. I mean, okay, one of my worst movies that I absolutely abhor is Battlefield Earth. Have you seen it?
No, it never got my attention.
It's got John Travolta in it.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
So it's like a $30 million budget, which is a not to sniffle at budget movie. That's some good money to throw into a movie, right? What do? They make a piece of poop. The people who were behind the movie, Church of Scientology, all that other group of people, everything else behind L. Ron Hubbard's estate and everything, they're not cheap. They've got a lot of money that they can throw at something like that. And they have a legacy that they're trying to... well. With this movie trying to hopefully portray and preserve, and they made a piece of poop. And most of the money in that movie went to John Travolta's salary.
Wow.
And really, I would not put that on my resume if I was John Travolta. Because that movie sucked. So, we're actually bleeding over into Mental Candy, or Free Pie right now.
Which we do have a guest coming on tonight.
So that's why, who do you got on Free Pie tonight?
Well, I've got from Big Band Swing right here on TMV Cafe, Margie, who will be on. And we're going to kind of talk a little bit about that, give you some of the music, and, you know, have some fun. And then Mental Candy is going to be doing a flashback.
Flashback!
Their 80s, what was it? It was with her and Bobby when they did their 80s show.
Well, yeah, Bobby's overseas right now.
Yes.
So, that's right. So that'll be a whole pant load of fun. I'm going to wrap up tonight's show then and say, hey, everybody, thanks for coming out and listening to me talk and stuff and listening to EW talk. Thanks for listening to us argue about Superman because, you know, there's like a whole bunch of world differences in there and what's going on. And it's been a slice. Thanks, EW, for coming by again.
Thanks for having me.
Everybody else, have a fun one!
Pie! Oh, wait. No. Sorry.
Have a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you'd better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day that teddy bears have their picnic.